is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 389. I am Lisa Schetz. I am joined by Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. You are listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM. Guess what, everybody? We stream this live at KOOP.org. But you knew that. Stick around.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. On the show today, we have a jam-packed show today. We have Zach Theater, and they're going to be talking about both Christmas Carol and, of course, the Santaland Diaries. We have Sade Jones, who's here to talk about Malinated Chrysalis. I pronounced that correctly. And then later on the show, RKJB Productions will be here to talk about Cece, the hip hopera. And of course, we'll have a lovely and lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and other cities that start with L. Stick with us. I believe I said it was the 23rd, and it really isn't. It is 7 days after that.
This, if it's just live streaming, that's not...
That is a cut and paste problem.
It's Groundhog Day.
That is a cut and paste problem. So
I got a little freaked out.
That would be November 30th.
There you add it.
For those of you that are sticklers and highly critical of the way we do things here.
details.
First of all, I need to thank Kim Simpson, another lovely... International Folk Bazaar.
I was just saying he
I had fun listening to the song that started Esperanta la.
I love all the picks he picks.
I do too. Let me turn your volume up so we can actually hear you. Okay, so checking in with Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
There you go. We were there that time.
How are you guys doing? Did y'all have a lovely Thanksgiving?
I did.
Nick Mayo, we did not see you,
yeah,
did we?
Yeah, you were supposed to come by. Lisa and I were together. Where were you?
I was with my mother and my brother and my husband on the back patio. Yeah.
You say husband like Dan Savage says husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says exactly that way.
And
he's taking some heat for it, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why? Because it anti-normalizes a same-sex marriage.
Because he says husband like husband?
He does. He always... Well, because prior to same-sex marriage being sanctioned by the Supreme Court, it was more of a you know,
yeah,
air quote husband. But anyway, it's minor heat, and he deflects it very well. I like it. Okay, let's introduce...
But you got some of that heat today.
Woo! Yeah, you should know better. So let's introduce the folks that are here. We have Sade Jones. Hi, Sade.
Hi, how you doing?
Wait, hold on. Let me see. Speak again. We'll do a mic check at the same time.
Okay.
Why? Now try it.
Oh.
It works much better when you turn the microphone on.
Imagine that.
We have the lovely Martin Burke.
Lovely.
The lovely Martin Burke. The equally lovely Kelly Petlin.
Yes, hello.
Okay. You know, give us a little mic test on that one because...
Oh, hello.
That's not working,
no,
so get yourself on to...
Share with Vincent.
Share with Vincent for now, and we'll see why that's not working. So, did you say hello?
Yes, hello.
We can hear you. And the Vincent Hooper.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. All right, let's just start the conversation off. I need to start with that piece of music that I
was going to ask about that.
Do you know what it is?
It's In Transit,
it
right?
It is In Transit. Oh.
It gave me anxiety, like being in transit.
Yeah.
It does. I literally found myself grabbing my wallet, making sure I had my keys, and checking out the person beside me.
Takes you right back, doesn't it? So that was In Transit, which is in previews right now at the Circle in the Square in New York City. And there was a lovely article about, and of course I don't have all my notes in the right order, but the gentleman who Deke Sharon. Oh, you know what? I know what the problem is. It's the wrong microphone.
That's what I was writing you a note about. That's so funny.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, Deke Sharon, who is the arranger for Pitch Perfect, which listeners of this show know that I am addicted to. I've seen both ones. Is anybody else like Pitch Perfect?
Yeah. I love Pitch Perfect.
Oh yeah. Say that again, Vincent.
I only saw the first one.
Your homework? See Pitch Perfect. Yeah. Which I'll have you say that I'll have you say. I must say that I saw it. I went to the theaters to see Pitch Perfect 2 and was underwhelmed. But now that I've seen it another 57 times.
You love it.
It was so funny. She was all like, yeah, it was okay. And now she's like, but I love it now.
I love it. Looking
you
forward
cracked
to,
me up.
Looking forward to Pitch Perfect 3.
Dun, da, da.
PP Trey, as we say.
PP Trey.
They're making a third one.
Hey, hey.
Anyway, so it is in previews. I don't know when it's going to open, so it should be opening soon. I might go see it when I'm there because I've become quite a fan of the a cappella.
Yeah.
And in the Pitch Perfect movies, they continually use Akka, like, if I'm disappointed, they say, yeah, I'm an Akka disappointed in you. Akka, excuse me? And so I like to do that.
You've never done that with me.
Akka,
I've never
excuse
got
me,
an Akka
I just did.
Anything.
Done.
Deke Sharon wanted to go, oh God, what school? He wanted to go to one school that had this like great a cappella thing and they wouldn't put him in. It took him several auditions to get in. But since then, he's like the king of a cappella arrangement. He's arranged some 2,000 songs.
Amazing.
That's a lot.
And he started a cappella group called House Jacks in 1991, which was prior to this
wave.
Thank you. That's the word I was trying to come up with. Of
you're
acapella.
Doing the hand motion.
But they talk about how "Don't Worry, Be Happy" was big at that time. And then I don't know this because I don't know Boys to Men. It's Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Love. Yeah.
Sing a few bars.
Lisa, Boys to Men is going back on tour with Paula Abdul and New Kids on the Block, so we can take you to go see them.
That's fantastic.
That would be wonderful.
Isn't that fantastic? Yes. They announced that like a week ago. And Austin is on the schedule.
What?
Yes.
Say it isn't so.
It is. It is.
Let's see. But one of the things that's interesting about In Transit, because there is no orchestra, all the cast is always singing. And even he talks about, you know, you go backstage, you make a crossover upstage to come to it. You're still singing the whole time.
Oh,
costume
no.
Change,
they wear ear monitors.
Oh, wow.
Which they say, because, you know, Broadway performers don't do that typically.
No, right.
And it was somewhat getting used to. It's, there was some quote in here about how they were, they said it's like trying to sing while putting your head underwater in a bathtub. A cry-worthy moment. But that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Is anybody else like
no,
the idea of Transit?
I think it looks really cool.
All right.
I agree with you, Lisa.
Who has watched The Gilmore Girls?
I have never.
I watched the clip
couple
you
episodes.
Sent me via video.
Oh my God. Okay.
And I started singing Stools.
Never mind. Stools, exactly. Well, the Gilmore Girls, fans of the show know I'm a Gilmore Girls-aholic and love them. And so I did binge watch the new season. And in the third show, there were four shows in the season. The third show had a musical. It was Stars Hollow, the musical, which starred one Sutton Foster and one Christian Borle.
Oh, wow.
Who I didn't realize, and you're gonna yell at me, and you're going to tell me you've told me, we've talked about this before.
Probably.
I'm warning you. I didn't realize that those two were married.
They're not married.
They were.
I said it in the past tense.
Yes, they're divorced.
I did not realize that.
Yeah,
they had been married. I guess I should have said that.
We did have this conversation.
I told you.
When we talked about him being in Legally Blonde and Mary Poppins.
You should just call me Claire from now on.
He was in Legally Blonde.
And Mary Poppins as one Bert. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, we did have this
never mind. Never mind. On a Saturday. Anyway, the Gilmore Girls musical was pretty bad.
Stools.
It was totally Stools. Does everybody know what that reference is from?
No. Nope.
Waiting for Guffman.
Oh,
that number when they all have the Stools.
Yes.
It's like, oh, really?
Total Stools.
She sent me a clip and I said, it looks like Stools. She goes, that's what's going on.
But the last number that Sutton Foster sang was more serious. And it was meant to be bad, I believe. But the last number was actually pretty nice. That's the end I want to say about that. We did lose a Broadway performer, and most people know him from film and television. Fritz Weaver died. at 90, had a good life.
We lost two Broadway performers. Florence Henderson.
Oh, right, of course, Florence Henderson.
I don't forget her,
can't
man.
Can't forget Florence Henderson. That's mom.
She started on Broadway before Mrs. Brady.
She did.
Yeah.
So we've lost two Broadway / television performers, people that made the switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
2016 is relentless.
It is. Yeah. It really
is. Well, Lisa has a video she can play for you, but not on air.
Not on air.
She played it on Thanksgiving, and I've been singing it all week.
So that was...
Is it those two women?
No, it's John Oliver's close to 2016, and he had a particular word that he liked to use.
In front of 2016, yeah. In front of 2016, and it's a great song.
And he had like everybody in the world did it. So there is did y'all hear about this company? It's Marion Elliott's company, who's got a new theater company called Elliott Harper Productions. You might know her name because she directed War Horse and she directed Curious Incident in London. So she's opened this company and she is doing Sondheim's Company. But Bobby will be spelled B-O-B-B-I-E and is played by a woman.
It's a woman.
And they don't go into detail about whether they're going to change relationships in terms of gender. They didn't really go into any specifics about how they were going to operate it. But Stephen Sondheim has been part of it and has blessed this and everything. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think he'd probably be down with it. And apparently he is.
Yeah, and she's being played by Rosalie Craig.
Hmm.
Come on over here. Find yourself a microphone, except for that one.
Yeah, this one's not working.
Tell folks who you are.
This one doesn't work.
Yeah, we share.
Just jump in.
Hello,
hey,
Robert King.
Great, and you're here with Cece.
Yes.
Wonderful. We want people to know who you're here. So make room for Martin. You're now sharing that microphone. We're all friends here. So did anybody see Drunk History last night?
I did.
I wanted to.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yes.
So it was... Was anybody a Drunk History fan prior to seeing it last night?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I was underwhelmed.
It's not my it was not
because he doesn't
best.
Get drunk enough. He probably does, but he handles himself too well.
Yeah.
He's in far too much control.
Right. He's in far too much control.
He had one moment where everything was spinning and he had to lean forward. And he was like, oh.
Well, the fun part of that show is when they're slurring their words and the people are
yes.
But I loved at one point he has FaceTime with Questlove.
Yes.
Oh, man.
He has FaceTime with Questlove, and it's really cute.
And the best was the reenactments. They're on the battlefield, and the reenactments of him talking, the reenactments were like, wait, I forgot to turn off my cell phone ringer. Hold on. And like they're all on the battlefield reenacting this whole part of Questlove calling.
So I guess we should say, I don't know if we said that it was Lin-Manuel Miranda that's performing on Drunk History, and he talks about Hamilton.
Never heard of it.
And you know what? There's just way too much Hamilton news as well. Because the remix drops this week as well,
yeah.
So there's lots of Hamilton news.
Lots of Questlove news too. He's all over
lots
that
of Questlove.
Album. He has like four or five of the songs.
Yep. One of the things that's different about this is typically it's three different stories, and this was all Lin-Manuel Miranda all the time. So, but definitely worth seeing.
Yeah,
and Aubrey Plaza plays Burr.
Hello, Tony Hale.
Tony Hale is in it.
Jackson and. Oh my God, I can't think of her name, but she played Maybe on Arrested Development. She's Hamilton.
Yeah. Oh, that's who she is.
Yeah,
yeah, I recognized her, but didn't.
It's like Sewell Barthwith. It's a
so it's
a
okay.
Crazy name,
don't worry about
yes.
it. We can all look it up. All right, so I'm going to just, we're going to jump. What are we going to jump? So Bronx Tale is opening. Wait, am I right? Is it opening tonight?
I think it might be Lisa.
Yeah, I think it's opening
tonight.
And there's a lovely, and there'll be a link on our show notes. There's a lovely clip that they show, and it looks good.
I when I saw the clips from the rehearsal, remember I came in, yeah. I was like, yeah. Who? I actually am kind of interested.
So I've never
now.
Seen the movie.
Okay, that's just okay. wrong yeah, on so many
okay,
levels.
Thank you, Vincent. Yeah, never seen the movie, and so to show, I'll just throw my ignorance right out here. I thought it was an animated show about
oh,
some kind
not?
Of animal with a tail.
Oh,
because you're thinking of American Tail and Fievel. Okay, she's thinking of Fievel and American Tail.
Great spin.
There's no Fievel in this one.
I'm not. Nobody ever accused me of being very smart ever.
Oh, that makes
Let's see.
Me laugh.
What's the time? What do we want to do? Real quick, like there is an article in the I think it was Playbill that had 60 different actors talking about mishaps that they've had on stage. And I have not read it, so I'm gonna choose one that's not terribly smart, not terribly long.
You're judging those poor people before you even read it.
So actually, I'll give you all a choice. So do we want to hear Tova Feltsche, Josh Gad, or Norm Lewis?
Josh Gad.
That's the one I was going to go for.
Yay.
Great minds. Okay, my first week in spelling bee, I not only forgot how to spell the last word in the show, but I forgot the word I was supposed to spell. I just started shouting out consonants. It was awful. It's a good one.
Good
choice.
I can't spell to save my life, so I'd really be in trouble.
Me either. Okay, and Nicole?
Yes.
You get to end this with whatever the ones you sent me three. So tell me which ones you want to talk about and talk about it.
Well, I'm angry about one and the other makes me laugh.
Well, just choose one.
Okay.
And then talk about it.
I don't have my Law and Order sign. Dunk, dunk. There was crime.
That's pretty good.
There was crime. Oh, actually, yeah.
Jersey Boys were found guilty of copyright infringement.
That's right.
Oh.
In federal court in Nevada. That basically they determined that 10% of the show's success attributed to the material that they drew from an unpublished biography from Tommy DeVito, then and now.
Yeah, and they won.
Which is interesting because it comes like weeks before the 10-year run is closing.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to change.
You know, I heard how negotiations went. They were like, you must stop. And they were like, okay.
Yeah, no problem.
We will.
Well, the bottom line is that the widow of this man is going to do quite well. I mean, it's made billions and billions
of dollars. Yeah, because the guy who wrote the book is actually deceased. So it's his wife.
It's his widow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He died at 41, which is young.
Okay. And the last thing we'll talk about before we go, because we're going to hear a little bit of this piece of music, is this show called Tsutsaka.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Haven't? Really?
Mm-mm.
It's the movie with Shirley MacLaine from 88?
I hadn't heard of it either.
The Russian late? Oh, really?
No shaming on this show.
No shaming on the show. Anyway, it's got a Broadway-bound musical. It's in Toronto. It starts its tryouts in December 8th, so that's coming right up. Somebody named Judy Kay is in it.
Oh, yeah. Love Judy Kay.
Somebody named Montego Glover is in it.
Yeah.
The
story's touching. She's a Russian music teacher who is living in England, and she befriends a student who's from India and moves to England, and he's teaching her, and they both feel like out of place foreigners in this country, and they basically, there's a whole lot of life lesson. It's like a Mr. Holland's opus from the 80s.
So our all of our homework is to go watch Madame Tsutsaka. So how do you pronounce it? Do you know?
I don't.
Tsutsaka.
Tsutsaka, like.
With Shirley MacLaine. And we'll go out listening to a little bit of the music from it. It's sort of fun. It's beautiful. It's sort of an African feel to it. And Snickerty D. Here we go. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro, and Nick Mayo, otherwise known as
Nick Squared.
We've been talking to a lot of people, but now we're going to focus in on those good folks at Exact Theater. So I'd like to reintroduce Mr. Martin Burke.
Hello.
And Ms. Kelly Petlin.
Hello.
And Mr. Hold on. I'm Vincent Hooper.
Hey.
Kelly, say hello again.
Hello.
There
hello.
It is. It's
there
working.
Out.
Yay, we got it working. Okay, good. So one of the things we talk about is people can really see how the sausage is made here because we have no engineer. We have to do all our testing live.
Just like Franklin Barbecue.
So y'all are here to talk about two different shows. And I should say, she's not going to like this, but I'm going to say it.
Say it.
Miss Lauren Lovell is in the house.
Lauren Lovell.
She refuses to go to a
Listen,
microphone, but no, she's here.
Her name is on a script, so she has to come say hello and be part of the party for a sec.
So y'all are here talking about two shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Good night.
It's holiday
so,
madness.
Let's start with Christmas Carol. Thank you. I was pointing at you. This is the third year for this version, is it not?
Yes. And
tell folks about it.
So we like to describe it as a Moulin Rouge style Christmas Carol. It's the story you know, period clothes, but it's modern day music and I would say, I don't want to say modern dance, but like a mix of jazz, hip hop, dancing, but in bustles and corsets. And it's really fun. And if you've seen it before, it'll be a lot of the same music, but we also have a lot of new songs too. So it's still, there's still more to see.
So when you're talking about the music, it's just for our listeners, it's you said it's contemporary music, but it's modern pop music, right?
Yes.
This wasn't composed by someone. This is a
collection
of a lot of people's favorite songs that they would hear on the radio or know from their past.
Yes.
Would it be fair to name a few so our listeners could have an idea of some of the songs that they might be regaled by, on?
Should we name the, like... should we keep the new stuff out?
Yes, let's keep the new stuff out.
Cool.
You go.
Let's see. We've got like a lot of like classic Christmas songs like Wonderful Christmas Time and Oh Holy Night and stuff like that.
Do you have a dreidel song? That's all I need to know.
No dreidel song. They play.
Next year.
It is called Hanukkah Carol, isn't it?
Right. They do play dreidel on stage. But we do like Halo by Beyonce.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We do
Michael Bublé's version of Jingle Bells.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
We have Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So there's songs like that, but we want to keep the new stuff. So you have to.
We'll be secret. We'll just have to get over there to the top for theater to see it. Kelly, what do you play in the show?
I play Gwendolyn, who's Fred Scrooge's nephew's wife. And I also play a ghost backup dancer.
a GBD.
Very fun.
We call them GBDs in the business.
Yes. I love that.
And Vincent, who are you playing?
I am a charitable gentleman, and I'm in the ensemble as well, and I understudy the Ghost of Christmas Past.
And I hear a rumor we might actually be able to see you as a Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah, that's true.
Can we talk about that? Are we allowed to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell folks, when are you going on?
Next week, December 7th through the 11th. That is 6 performances, and I'll be in the whole get-up, in the wig, and the...
Nice.
Cool. You know, if we were on Broadway, we might not have been able to say that.
Right.
Well,
what was the show that did that? The producer.
Oh, they got in trouble.
They
so
got in trouble for
trouble
announcing
for
their.
It.
Yeah.
Is the did you get to wear the light wig?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. Susan Branch Towns does such an amazing job on the costumes and the light wig. I had jealousy things. I told someone, like, if it goes missing, it's in my garage.
I was just about to say, if it disappears, Vince, this one has
We have two. Kenny has his own, and I have mine.
Don't
so
tell him that, because you'll be out of one.
I mean, no, we just have the one.
So did Susan do the wigs as well?
No, she did costumes, but they all look beautiful.
Yeah. Sarah did the wigs. I can't, and I'm drawing a blank on Sarah's last name.
It's okay. But she's one of those people you really only need the first name.
Right, and our wigs are awesome. They're so fun.
It's a beautifully, beautifully designed show. I saw it last year, and for anyone who comes to see it, I was saying earlier, like, you have to have a very, very cold heart not to be moved by that story.
Yes.
It's a stunning, beautiful, beautiful story, and it's a fun night.
And, you know, for someone who is hypercritical as myself and hates most everything I see, I really enjoy this production. This version. I have not seen this production yet, but
this year, the Scrooge is Jason Williams.
Yes!
And he's so fun.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not talk about this.
Super
great. Jason was just on the show the other day.
For Wolverine. He went right in from doing Wolverine. He closed on Sunday and went right into opening this, like, 2 days, 3 days later.
I would say he could make a very good Scrooge because he's so unpleasant to be around on the normal basis.
I know, right?
He could just like walk right in and be unpleasant.
He's wonderful. Yeah. It's been so fun working with him.
And this is a big, big cast, right? How many people
are in
your cast?
I said, when was the last time you did a show with this many people? He's like, maybe 5 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. But so
how many people are in the cast? You know, approximately?
I want to say including kids, probably 30-ish, somewhere around there.
We always include kids.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And Martin, you got dragged. You know, you try to get out every year. You say you're not going to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
And here you are.
I am, yeah.
What's the show?
What
show are you doing?
I am doing the Santaland Diaries with Meredith McCall and Jason Connor. This is... We started doing this show 19 years ago. We did it for 15 years, and then I did Wonderful Life for a couple of years, and then we brought it back last year. And Abe Reibold, who is the associate artistic director at Zach, directed it, and Abe created a cabaret for the first act for me and Meredith and Jason. So Jason actually plays and sings and wears
costumes. I've heard a lot of good things about the cabaret, and I'm like, I haven't gotten to see that
yet. Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's lovely.
I love it so much more than it just being a whole bunch of monologues. Mm-hmm. One, because I don't have to do all those monologues. And then, and two, it's just really fun to play with Meredith and Jason.
So for people that don't know, what is The Sandland Diaries? What's it about?
An essay written by David Sedaris.
And Never heard of him.
Exactly. And he worked as an elf in Macy's Santaland in New York City. I think he actually did it for several years.
I think it was a good
amount
of years.
Who here has been Christmas help at Macy's, Herald Square?
No. I haven't been Christmas help, but I have been
in... I worked there for 10 days. And then I quit.
And then you quit?
I did. I got a job. So, you know, a job.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it. I worked at F.A.O. Schwartz.
That's crazy.
In college. Rough mornings.
With that big piano on the floor.
That's crazy.
I worked right next to the piano and the doll department selling Bob Mackie Barbies and Madame Alexander's. And I listened to the Doink Doink and the replaying of the Welcome to the World, Our World over and over again.
I have to say, speaking of F.A.O. Schwartz, which no longer exists.
I know.
I went to Terra Toys over the weekend.
Crazy fun.
I started smiling the moment I walked in there, and I was beaming till I left. Just the vibe in there and the people that work there and the whole... And that's what F.A.O. Shorts used to be.
Yep.
And it's up on
And you don't
like
get that
Anderson's?
From Toys R Us.
There's actually a few Terra Tours. I think there's one out in Hill Country Galleria also.
Why would you go there?
Because some people live out there, Lisa.
Who?
We have listeners.
Name
in
one
the
person.
Lake. Shannon Bogus.
I'm teasing.
Okay. But I named her. But there's some others.
Martin, you said you've done this for 19 years. You've been in the Santaland Diaries kind of world.
It has haunted me for 19 years.
How is it developing that over that time and spending that time with that character, that piece?
It's an interesting thing because this year and last year, it became really collaborative with me and Meredith and Jason and Abe. But a lot of times I would just sort of check in with Meredith and Jason. I would say, is that funny? What would make it funnier? So I was like, can you think of an idea? What could we do to change that up? But what's funny, after doing it for so long, you've tried out so many things that you think, well, this is what works, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe it doesn't work for everybody, but it's what makes the most sense to me. It is it's a huge challenge to keep it fresh.
Sure.
And there are often times when I feel like I'm out of my body and I hear myself saying these lines and I'm like, that's exactly how I say it every single time. So it's been a wonderful thing in my life. It has taught me a lot about myself as an actor, as a person. And it has been such a challenge doing it for so many years.
And what a beautiful holiday tradition for you as a person to know that you get to step into those shoes and spend your holidays.
Because he's a naughty little boy.
He's
a naughty little elf.
I think that might be a misinterpretation, though, that he hates Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I actually met David Sedaris once, and he said, I don't hate Christmas.
No, I wouldn't
He said, I love Christmas. And he doesn't like that it is portrayed that Crumpet is like this... you know, Christmas hater, because he's not. He's excited. He got a job. He moved to New York with so many dreams and wanted to be a soap opera star. And then he has to get this job and he's taking care of stuff. And all these circumstances sort of bulldoze him over. And I think that's what it is. And he learns something about himself at the end.
Right. Tender, real character. I need to take a quick tangent. Before we went on the air, we asked Sade Jones to choose a number between 2 and 54.
Oh, crap.
What'd you choose? Do you remember?
I chose 22.
You 22? Yeah. She's going, crap. Not that bad. Let's see what you chose.
Hi, this is Martin Burke, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Okay, you will not believe it, but that was a total random.
That was totally random.
It is so funny. I almost said, wouldn't it be funny if it was Martin? And there it was.
I was laughing because I know we have Martin in there.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle.
We make things happen here.
Yes, you do.
So, both shows are open now, correct?
Yes.
How long is Christmas Carol playing?
Until December 31st.
31st. Mm-hmm. And you're on the top first stage.
Yes.
And Mr. Burke, how long is Santa? When is Santa Land Diaries?
We go until Christmas evening.
The 25th.
That's our closing show.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm sure I'm going to say it wrong, so you're going to correct me.
Okay.
You're on the Wizen Hunt stage.
You got it right.
Yes.
I get...
That's the name that gets you, but
it
you
does.
Didn't
I always,
get
and
you
I,
today.
And it's the other one I'm not going to even try that I can't remember either. who wants to tell me where folks can go to get more information about the shows? Anybody?
Oh,
Kelly.
Oh,
wow. Oh. We you should have had the webcam.
The webcam. You had like ZachTheater.org.
ZachTheater.org. Yes. She's looking for confirmation.
Which I may say sure. has been revamped.
It yes, is it's
a lovely new site.
Yes. It is a lovely new site. I saw it today. Yes. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. I really
thank you.
Hopefully some of you can stick around and join us backstage. For backstage and on stage.
Christmas off
stage,
magic.
Whatever the hell it's called. Mm-hmm. Whatever the heck it's called. that was Kelly Petlin, Vincent Cooper, and Martin
Hooper.
Burke.
Vincent Hooper.
Did I call you Cooper?
You did.
I did. And
thank
it
you,
says,
Martin.
It says Hooper right here. Vincent Hooper. You would think I would
been
know.
Misinformed.
I was like, they've worked together.
backed up ably by Miss Lauren Lovell. For Zach Theater's Christmas Carol on the top first stage, playing through December 31st. Santa Land Diaries on the Wizen Hunt stage, playing through December 25th. And for more information, you may visit ZachTheater.org. We will be right back. Santa coming, Carol. We are back. You're listening to Off Stage and On the Air. Everybody was grooving out. They did not want me to turn that off. And yet, and there I did. I'm very mean.
Sorry, I have to get
back. So we're going to switch gears. We just finished talking to the lovely folks at Zach Theater, and that was Kelly Petlin, Vincent Hooper, and Martin Burke, as well as Lauren Lovell, which I typed here as Lauren Lovells, so there's two of you. But let's stop and talk to Sharday Jones for just a little second. Sharday, you've got some really incredible stuff happening at the Vortex, right?
I do, and actually, it's not at the Vortex, but it's majorly supported by the Vortex Theater.
Where is it? Where's
we
it at?
We are at the historical George Washington Carver Museum in the Boyd Vance Theater.
Oh, I love that theater.
I love that theater, too.
So what the name of the show is Melanated Chrysalis.
Melanated Chrysalis is the name of the show, and it will run for one night only, December 9th.
Can you sing the song?
Can I sing
one night only? Sorry, I couldn't help it.
I'm sorry, I just make dances. But
pretty pictures.
Yeah, I make pretty pictures of my body, but no one can see that. my name is Sade Jones, and I am the artistic director of Ashe Arts Austin, which is an up-and-coming black arts organization.
Awesome.
Here in Austin, Texas. It is the first one since Pro Arts Collective, and the people who used to do Pro Arts Collective.
That would be Boyd Vance, amongst
Boyd
others.
Vance, mm-hmm. amongst others, who are still great, can grace us with their presence, like Carla Nickerson and Lisa Bird are on our advisory board.
Awesome.
And so we're standing on their shoulders. And we have Melanated Chrysalis. It is about how caterpillars don't turn into butterflies. Caterpillars die, and then butterflies are born from their pulp.
Okay.
That's interesting.
It is super interesting. So it's sort of this romanticized resilience of a caterpillar, right? And we want to get to the gunk. We want to get to what's going on inside of that cocoon, what's happening in there. So that's what the show is about.
That's a great allegory for our days right now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it is written by myself, choreographed by myself, and also co-written and directed by Zell Miller III.
Zell Miller, we love him.
We love him.
Yes. And... we both just won Biden Payne Awards, one for choreography and one for directing. So we're getting together and we're doing this beautiful show about transformation and about the honesty of allowing transformation to happen.
Wonderful.
How many people are in the cast?
Yes. Right, yes.
Beautiful thing for you to do.
Super cathartic for individuals, super cathartic for the audience. We're going to include the audience in a lot of things. There'll be a lot of surprises there. And it's also cathartic for Austin during its gentrification process and also after the election. And so I think that it'll be a group
and we
catharsis.
Lost our police
is
chief.
Is
yes.
We did. Is it a large cast? Is it a small cast?
We have about 20 people in our cast.
I would call
that's
a large
good
cast.
Size cast.
Including children, right? Because you say we always
include children. Well, some people don't think children are people, and I believe they are.
It's very true. Yes. These children are phenomenal children. Some McCallum Fine Arts kiddos, and some special guests coming in. Actually, my mom is coming in from New York City talking about her transformation and her catharsis process being HIV positive for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to dance on stage, and she's also going to teach a workshop for the community to come.
Oh, my God. That's wow.
That's so amazing. Yeah.
So I'm guessing we're going to see some dancing.
You're going to see some dancing. You're going to see, of course, some jazz aesthetic and spoken word courtesy of the great Zell Miller III. And you're also going to see some beautiful vocals experienced by Chelsea Manisseri, who's also working with the Vortex. So she's in it as well. Another spoken word artist that's in it, major person in neo-soul poetry community, Austin Slam community, Brian Francis will also grace us with his presence.
You have a good group of people.
Wonderful. I do. I'm really excited about it.
I can tell you right now that I'm very sad that you're only doing this once.
I know. It's my debut. It's our first go round. We've been a community organization for 2 years now, and it's our first show. So we really want to say thank you to Bonnie Cullum and the Vortex for taking us under their wing. And maybe we'll come back and do it some more.
Well, I'm going to say that you must.
Yeah.
I believe that's an order.
That's
your homework.
Your passion is definitely contagious.
It absolutely is.
The way you're speaking about your work is really beautiful. I'm feeling it.
I wish people will come and learn how to be compassionate with themselves. We also have workshops from December 5th until December 8th at Houston. And a couple of other people are doing workshops, and they're using their tools as artists to help people go and take self-care on a daily basis.
So tell me when those workshops are again.
So they are December 5th through the 8th, every day at 7 p.m.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We're looking forward to seeing a lot more of you.
All right. Thanks.
You know what I wanted to ask you? Where can folks get information about those classes?
Information
and the show?
For the workshops and the show, you can go to ashearts.com. That's ashearts.com. You can also follow us on Facebook for cool photos and things like that.
Wonderful. Can you tell us what the genesis or what the etymology of Ashe Arts? What's that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I always just be like, Ashe Arts.
No, just keep going.
Ashe Arts, the word Ashe is a Yoruba word coming from a people in Nigeria. Uh-huh. And this word has been spread out throughout popular culture. Ashe means to give life. It means so it is. It means this is it. It's like abracadabra, but the black magic version. Right?
It's the black magic version. Well, Sade, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We look forward to having you back here. Best of luck. That was Sade Jones with Ashante Arts and her show, Melanated Chrysalis, and also her classes. That show is December 1st at the Carver Theater. For more information, you may visit ashearts.com. And I have no music to play here, so I'll just hum a little bit.
I can do that. I can't sing. I can do that.
So we'll talk a little bit about some things that are happening here locally. And unfortunately, I know we're laughing, but I've got to... It's not really sad news, but it's news that's unfortunate. But we believe it's going to have a happy ending. Those of us in this community know Travis Bedard. He suffered a heart attack last week and is expected to make a full recovery. But I don't believe he's regained consciousness yet. But there's been a deep outpouring of love from the community. And Travis Bedard is one of the more giving people in
extremely young
in our community, right? And that's a big word to say because we have an extremely giving community in general. So best of love to him and for a speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
So let's jump right into more pleasant stuff, which is today in theater history.
Theater history.
I'm scared. Maybe I didn't have it, but I found it. In 1924, there is a show led by Henry Oscar and Esme Biddle in a show called Byron. It's by Alice Law, and it was at the Century Theatre in England.
That's it.
Interesting.
That is not it. There's more. In a very minor role is somebody named Laurence Olivier.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. All right. In 1926, a composing group, Sigmund Romberg and one Oscar Hammerstein II, wrote Desert Song, and it opened. It was one of the last blockbuster operettas. Hmm. We'll hear a bit of it at the end of this section. It is the birthday of David Mamet.
Mamet.
Blankenruthie. That's all I have to say. It's also the birthday of Mandy Patinkin. That's my really bad Mandy Patinkin.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's kinder than me.
In 55, this was the anniversary of the opening of the flop, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Pipe Dream. Which just had it had an encore revival about
like,
6 years ago.
It's
gorgeous music.
It is.
Yeah. Let's see. We're going to skip that one. In 2000, this is the opening night of Seussical.
The musical.
Seussical the musical. Which brother. I was just talking about yesterday to the gentleman that folks will hear next week who is playing Topfer in Cinderella. That was his start.
Oh, my brother built the sets for Seussical, and Zach, he still talks about the phenomenal hat he built. That and the fountain for doubt. He's very proud of himself on this.
There you go. Well, one might remember in 2011 at the Vineyard Theater, the New York premiere of somebody named Candor and Ebb's musical, The Visit.
Yeah.
That was a one-night concert, and then it went on to have Cheetah Rivera and John Cullum do it on Broadway in 2015. Birthdays, somebody named Mark Twain, who I know as Samuel Clemens.
Yeah.
Virginia Mayo.
Oh.
Any relation?
None.
No. What about Vicky Mayo? I have a friend named Vicky Mayo.
No.
Okay, never mind. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Now that's my cousin.
And this I will mispronounce. Robert Guillaume.
I met Hillary Clinton and Robert Guillaume and Michael Jordan all together at the same time. And I was like, this is a good night.
That's a good night, yeah.
That is a very interesting combo.
The Essence Awards.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan and who?
Hillary Clinton and Robert Guillaume. Oh. And Blair Underwood, too. Don't forget Blair
Underwood.
That
is so strange, Nicole. That is just so strange.
I got to escort them off the stage and take them down to press, and I was chit-chatting with them, and I'm like, this is a very odd moment, but awesome.
What kind of moment was it?
Odd moment, but
awesome.
All right,
well, let's take a break now, and we'll come back and learn a little bit about the show CC. What do you say?
CC.
We'll be back. My desert. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. This is me, Lisa Sheps, and you...
Nick Squared!
We've been talking to loads of people.
That makes you so happy.
It does. It gives me a nice grin from ear to ear. Let's switch gears and talk to the folks at, hold on, I've got to read it because I can't remember, at RKJB Productions and their show CC. And we've got Robert King Jr., which, interestingly enough, the initials are RKJ.
Well, I have to give my friend Jeremy Brown some credit also. He's also the co-producer on the production.
I see, okay. So tell us about the show CC.
CC is a funky hip-hopera. That is now a word.
I was about to say, yeah, I love that the word is hip hopera.
Yeah, we call those FHHs.
Oh.
What's that? Yeah.
Funky hip hopera.
In the biz.
In the business.
That's what we call it.
Stick around, you'll learn it.
It's a funky hip hopera on the old tale of Cinderella. It takes you through Funkville. If you're familiar with Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk, just imagine that as this town all by itself.
I'd go there.
I would too.
I mean, give it to you.
It takes you on this journey through Funkville, and you go to Mrs. Dean's School for the Girls, where she is trying to teach women to be next heir to the thrones for the prince, and there, working, slaving away, is Cece.
I graduated summa cum laude from that school.
I thought you were going to tell me what your sorority name was. No.
My sorority name was Dip Dopra.
Because she loved a dip cone.
So, so we basically follow the entire narrative of Cinderella with this hip opera.
Yes, it's an updated version of Cinderella, if you will.
Okay.
It's a beautiful cast, beautiful, great actors. Kathy Sheridan kind of leads the cast as Mrs. Dean,
okay.
who runs the school for girls.
She's a tough cookie, that Kathy Sheridan.
Yes, and we have newcomer to the stage, Sierra Wilson, in the role of Cece, and Patrick King, who you may remember last on stage in Shrek the Musical.
Uh-huh.
Why don't I remember in that?
Great cast of actors and actresses.
Well, that's awesome. So is there music with this? Do we sing? We're hip-hopper. Yeah. What am I talking about? Never mind. I should pay attention.
You hip-hopper.
It's music, it has rap, and it's just a big, beautiful mesh of both.
Do you have a live band on stage?
Yes, we do. Yes.
What is your role within this?
I am the writer, the producer, and the director of the show.
Oh, wonderful! So, what inspired you to tell this story in this capacity?
I like the traditional Christmas shows, but I was trying to give something different during the holiday season. I wanted to do something that was not so traditional, but more of funky.
You wanted to be
You wanted to be an FHH.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've just been joined by, I'm guessing, Courtney Santana.
Hi, Lisa.
And Sierra Wilson.
Oh, this is Kendall. This is Kendall.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
And
good.
What roles do you play in CC?
I'm playing the fairy godmother.
What?
Yeah. That's a fun one.
That's me on the poster.
Look at you
on the poster. I noticed it right away. And you were with us last year, were you not? Didn't you come on the show last year?
I think so.
It's hard. You know, it's a whole year ago.
Yeah, I know.
So we've been just talking about the show and what it is. And so where is it playing?
At the Austin Scottish Rite Theater.
Okay. On Lavaca.
What a cool stage.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Yeah, and you get to get up on that big rickety wooden ladder they have there. They may not have it there anymore.
For what?
Ooh, I'm not getting on a ladder.
The ladder
I'm not getting on a ladder.
Scottish Rite has that big ladder to get up to the...
Oh, that's back. Like, to get up into the second area.
So anyway, there's a rickety ladder.
There is. I know where you're talking about.
And are you in the show?
Yes, I am. I'm Lola.
Right into that microphone, please.
I'm Lola.
Lola. Her name is Lola. She is a showgirl.
Who is Lola?
She's one of the schoolgirls. Miss Dean has a school, and we're a part of it, and that's Lola. And with her other school, House Girls, actually.
Are you? Is it all original music?
No.
No. Mm-mm. Okay.
Stuff we would know?
Stuff you definitely would know. I pulled some stuff from the 70s, some stuff from today, and... to create this funky hip opera, a little bit of Morris Day and the Time, Prince, who else?
Bruno Mars,
Whitney Houston. It's a beautiful mix of just funky music.
Mm-hmm. How fun.
Yeah.
And what can folks expect when they come in to see the show?
To step back to being a kid again, more than anything.
That's right up our alley.
Yeah, the magical of Cece, the magical.
And so Cece, I was about to say, what is the significance of Cece? But I think I answered my own question as I said it out loud. That's just Cinderella, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, never mind. Thanks for being on the show. See, I don't need any guests.
Oh my
I can
God,
just make
you
it up
are
all by myself.
Fire today, Lisa Sheps. On fire.
And you guys open tomorrow.
We open tomorrow.
You do.
How are you feeling? Are you shaking in your slippers? Or are you good?
No. Everybody's really, really excited about the show. The music is so good. The choreography is amazing. Robert's really doing great with the direction. So I think we're all just ready to get into the space and let it happen.
Ready for the audience.
Mm-hmm, ready for the audience.
And Robert, are you also choreographing it?
I am not.
You are not?
I'm not even. Candace Akers has done a beautiful job with her choreography in the show. I gave her a few ideas here and there and just let her kind of run with it.
Cool. Is it like hip-hoppy? Will those of us that can't dance a little, even just the littlest bit of it, walk away jealous and mad because we can't do it?
Any of the choreography, so it's,
We practice it. We sleep and think it. Like, watch videos and think it over and over and over again.
Well, that's great. Now, y'all, Nick said you open tomorrow night.
We open tomorrow night.
And you only have three performances, right?
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, and Sunday matinee.
That's great.
Yeah. Wow, why only three? We're very sad.
The space.
Have you been talking to Sade?
Yeah, actually, Sade choreographed the last show that I was just in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did Once on the Silent with Spectrum.
Oh, yeah. We had them on the show.
We
talked about that. I forgot what I was asking, and we just got...
About,
you're only doing three performances, and you never answered.
Well, because we kind of... There's two shows going on at one time, because Scottish Rite also has their show going
on. Right, of course.
And these were the open dates they had available, and Sweet Sue was like, yeah, come on and do your show at our theater for 3 nights. Yeah. So, no, I'll take it.
It's a great way to kick off the holiday. Like,
it really
is. It's a perfect holiday. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
exactly where I was thinking, Nick.
We are happy to have you on the show. And best of luck. So you, you're at Scottish Rite Theater. Where can folks go to get more information?
You can visit www.scottishrighttheater.org.
And unfortunately, they spell the theater in the incorrect way with the E-R. Well, thanks so much. Remind me your name, because I didn't write it down.
Oh, I'm Kendall.
Kendall. Is it the same last name, Santana?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm about to say your name. And... there you go.
In case
but
you
thank you guys
know.
For being on the show, and hopefully some or all of you can stick around with us and join us backstage.
Okay.
That was Courtney Santana, Kendall Santana, and Robert King Jr. of RKJB Productions production of CC the Hip Hopera, playing December 1st, 2nd, and 4th at the Scottish Rite Theater. For more information, Scottish Rite Theater with an ER.org, and we will be right back. Someday I'm gonna find someone else. We are back. You're still listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
Makes me laugh.
Yeah, you've never introduced us so many times.
I do it every I do it every time I come onto the... Lauren Lovell, come up, step up here to a microphone. Sorry. We told you we were going to get you on here, didn't we?
Oh, she didn't just choose a mic. She went for a cabaret mic.
You had mentioned when we were off something about Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah. I'd wanted to mention earlier. I know we've got so many theater-loving people listening and here in the room, and that the final performance of A Christmas Carol is also a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, so folks should... the 31st.
You know, you're always looking. I know I start worrying about it really early on, because I feel like if you don't make a plan, then last minute you're left with no plan.
Which is popcorn and ice cream and sitting on the couch crying.
Which is what
Never done it.
Yeah, I don't know anything. About that.
I just wanted to throw it out.
And that's great. Remind folks the web address to get more information.
Oh, ZachTheater.org.
ZachTheater.org. Thank you, Lauren. And how's your lovely newborn? Not so newborn anymore.
No, just very sweet.
She's old.
So cute.
Smoking?
She's smoking.
Tell her not to smoke.
Not yet.
It's bad for the skin.
It is
Lauren
bad for the
starts
skin.
Hers at two years.
So we have a few minutes here to chit and chat amongst ourselves.
I have something to say.
Oh, say.
Dolly Parton is breaking box office records and knocking Hamilton out of the park.
What?
Or not Dolly. Hello, Dolly.
I know.
Dolly in my head.
It's funny.
Because I've got the Dolly Parton concert I'm going to on Tuesday in my brain. So everything is Dolly Parton when I hear the word Dolly now.
When you sent me that, I thought Dolly Parton. I said, she can't mean Dolly Parton, but it's Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. The tickets are going for $525 doll hairs
Scott
for a song.
Rudin
Hello,
is no
Dolly.
Joke.
Well, you know what? I think that is one of the worst things about modern theater.
I'm not happy about it, but I just thought it was kind of crazy that it's Hamilton pricing.
I also just get... here's my 2 10 cents is I really get exhausted about talking about something success artistically and monetary value.
Because of money.
It makes me just a little nauseous. And now we're so into that. This amount of money, $500 tickets. Now we're competing with how much we can charge people to see theater. Give me a break.
Well, in fairness to them, it is commercial theater. And so by nature, that's what they're doing.
Well, but they can posture to themselves. Don't subject us who I mean, it's just...
It makes me angry at the price, but I'll tell you, Bob Tolero is very happy he already bought his ticket.
Well, and I'm happy for him.
the premium pricing, I don't think I would even if I had the resources to do it, I would hope that I wouldn't do it.
Yes.
Because I think it's a principle of the thing. They shouldn't be doing it. You know,
I was angry at Neil Patrick Harris for the price of Hedwig, and what did I do? Bought a ticket and went.
But I don't think I would do that.
So I don't know what to say.
I'm also the person that said after seeing the Hamilton documentary, wishing that I had paid the however many millions of dollars to see it with the original cast.
And I'm very, very... I'm just going to raise my hand and say I'm super excited about Hello, Dolly with Bette Midler.
Me too.
And that doesn't take away from... I mean, you know, my kind of angst about not wanting to hear about the money, because the last two people on Earth who need more money are Bette Midler and Scott Rudin, but that doesn't make me not excited to see the show. So both can exist at the the same time.
And if you're True looking that. For the other Dolly, she's on the tree lighting tonight.
There you go. So that's it for another show. Remember, folks, if you're not listening to the podcast, why?
Aren't you? Should you? Be.
Hello.
You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher. You can get it on iHeartRadio, other stuff. And then...
the best way.
Which is?
Just go offstageonair.com, enter your email into the box, and hello, Lisa and Nick Square. We just arrived.
Sign up for it. And that
We're
way,
there.
That way you get to hear backstage at Offstage. This is where you get to hear all the lovely people we've been speaking to, including, I might add, in this case, Vincent Cooper.
Yes. Vincent Cooper does make an appearance on this episode.
He does, and there will be a time when we will all be saying the name Vincent Cooper. Just saying.
Oh.
So, if you are listening to us over the radio waves, you can stand by for Austin Theater News.
Wouldn't that be great? It's just theater news all the time. Austin
would be
Monitor
great. Austin
News.
Monitor News. They are coming up next. And then if you are listening on the podcast, you just stick around and you're going to join us backstage amongst what?
The dumpsters!
Amongst the dumpsters. Oh my God.
Okay, what that was a new one.
All right, so this last song, it's a little, I'll wax a little serious, but it's also from Rocky the Musical.
I was about to say, this is the song my brother and I were singing in the car this weekend.
But I'm sending this out to Travis Bedard. It's called Fight from the Heart.
But Rocky, you've been through it. Making the choice.
Well, the curtain has just come down on I Can't Pronounce People's Names, the musical. The story of a hapless young host that can't remember anybody's name and butchers the names that she can.
With the hit single, That's Hooper, Not That's... Cooper.
Listen to it on a radio near you. So we are here backstage. Actually, we're right outside the stage door, as we say, amongst the dumpsters here in the parking lot of our theater.
And let me tell you, Lauren lied. Her kids are out here ripping butts.
There they are. And we have with us Sade Jones.
Hey.
Hey. And we have Kendall Santana. Why can't I hear? Oh, because the thing was, I want to say that again.
Oh, hi, guys.
And Courtney Santana.
Hi.
And we have Kelly Petlin.
Hello.
And Vincent Hooper.
What?
Got it right.
Yeah, I did get it right. So welcome backstage. Vincent, you've been backstage before, haven't you?
I have.
You have, so we don't care about you. No, I want to talk to Kendall. Tell me your story. How'd you find theater?
My mom and dad both do theater, uh-huh. And it's kind of like...
Who's your mom?
Courtney Santana. And my dad, he's Paul Sanchez, and uh-huh. He's in A Christmas Carol.
I know, we just talked
and
about him.
He's amazing.
He was. He's amazing.
He's got good jeans.
Amazeballs, as we say, which we can say here at backstage.
We can.
Amazeballs, say it.
Good for you, Kendall. Keep your integrity intact. So I'm assuming you grew up here in Austin, Texas.
Yes, I did. Born and raised.
Okay. And did you do theater in high school?
Yes, I did. I did a production of Hairspray and Little Shop of Horrors.
So you're a dancer. You're a triple threat.
Ooh.
Were you in the same Hairspray that Vincent was in?
No, but I did go see. I did see it.
And are you going to see Hairspray live coming up in just a week or two?
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Why do you say that with trepidation?
Well, I had a final callback for Seaweed in that in LA. So it's a little like I'm like.
So it's the
you want to be sour grapes.
Buck up and be like, all right, here we go. Let me watch this.
Did anyone see their performance on the? They performed a number on the parade.
I did see that.
What did they perform? Oh, they did a
like
medley.
A clip
you told
of
me.
You Can't Stop. The
yeah,
beat.
It was You Can't Stop the Beat, and it was out. They were out on the street, and it was interesting.
Got a whole back.
Interesting
lot.
Is an interesting word when describing a performance.
Was not the set to me was like Little Shop of Horrors. It was not how I expected the set and the way they worked it. I don't know if it's just that number. So to me, it was a little like, I don't know.
Well,
that
we'll
was
see.
All.
We'll see.
It had nothing to do with the talent or the people or the choreography. Or I was just kind of like, that was.
And I used to say that Hairspray was not one of my favorites, I'm changing that. The problem with Hairspray is if it's not done right,
it's bad.
It is bad, and it is disrespectful.
Yes,
and painful. But I think Hairspray uniquely, if it's done poorly, it really sends an opposite message than what the show is supposed to send.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
Harvey in that role.
is just so awesome. And I think it's awesome that people who were able to see him do that role on Broadway mm-hmm. get the chance to do it on TV.
Yeah,
like
that's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, the clip I saw, he looks sort of scary in this particular version. Almost too real. Okay. You know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll see. I'm withholding judgment.
His Edna looks the same. I don't know. Martin Short I don't know. I don't know. I'm excited.
I'm excited. Well, I don't know if I'd say excited.
But,
I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I was excited Kendall, about Peter it? Pan, my favorite musical. And
I already had it recorded. It's just ready.
You're all ready to go. It's all on your DVR. And how do you like working on stage along with your mom? That's got to be sort of tough. She can't hear you, so go ahead and feel free to be completely honest.
So I used to do shows at Zach with my mom. So mm-hmm. when I was a little girl, and so then I stopped doing Zach shows, started doing like middle school and high school shows, and I like doing a show with my mom just because it's like we automatically just know like each other. We're like. All right, we can improve that. And we're honest with each other. And it's really good because my mom's not going to give me that, like, oh, sugarcoat it. Like, oh, you did good.
You were really good.
Yeah, I know. She's going to tell me, in a professional theater state, she's going to be like, okay, you need to work on this. You're late on this thing. And I'm like, okay.
I'm a tiger mom.
But you're a loving tiger mom.
I am.
Yeah. So how is it working with your daughter? And have you all worked together on stage before?
We have. Back, I guess, in 2007, we were in Zach's performance of Porgy and Bess.
So that's been a good 10 years. I worked. Mm-hmm. I was working at Zach, and I worked on that.
Yeah, when we did it at the Austin Music Hall.
Oh, mm-hmm. I helped set up all those chairs in there.
Oh, my gosh.
The people.
Yeah, we opened the Austin Music Hall with that musical, and Kendall and Brendan, it was an adaptation of Porgy and Bess, and that's the one that's actually touring
now. It's what got
them
excited about the Gershwin coming down, they looking at the organization to bring it and do the production on Broadway. This is what got them all interested. Absolutely. Was that production. It was a great production.
Yes. And there weren't any children originally on Catfish Row and Porgy and Bess.
Right.
And my kids, my son and my daughter, are both like, they're the reason why they're kids.
You're the original
now.
Children.
Wow. Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Let's give a shout out to your son. What's your son's name?
Brendan.
Brendan Santana. That's a great
wish
name.
I could do. I wish my mom and I have a love for theater, and that's our thing, and we go to theater and talk about theater all the time. But man, I wish I did a show with my mom.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That'd be kind of cool.
You have the power to do
She'd
that.
She'd laugh. No, she wouldn't.
I love watching her grow as a person. Like, she's a woman, you know, and I watching her make her choices, and I'm just very proud.
Has anybody else worked on stage with either their children or their parents or siblings?
Not at all.
I've been on stage with my brother.
Why does that not surprise
me? We did Jesus Christ Superstar together. He'll talk about his time as an apostle. He loved it. And we did Wizard of Oz together.
I did a show with my sister when she's 6 years younger than me. So she was probably, I think she was about 6 years old and I was 12. And it was kind of, we were
doing the math, by the way.
But we were doing like a musical review and I don't remember what the song was, but everyone was sitting on the stage and I had a microphone and I was singing and I looked over and she was crying and she had lost a tooth. Aww. And so her mouth was like full of blood. She was crying. And I kind of gestured for her to go off stage. And I kept singing and took her in the back and was like helping her clean up. And I would like sing and sing and sing. And then I'd be like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Just spit right here. And then I'd keep singing.
Oh my goodness.
So you were doing just like the in transit people do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I did many shows with my sister.
And where did this happen?
In San Antonio. I was in a group called Showstoppers. It was a little musical theater academy.
Showstoppers? Haven't we heard of Showstoppers?
Someone was on here recently that I think was on the Showstoppers.
Is that where you're from? San Antonio?
Uh-huh.
Texas?
Yeah. San Antonio, Texas.
Did you do, clearly you did do theater. You did Showstoppers.
I did. Yep. I did Showstoppers for pretty much my whole life.
When did you move here?
I moved here. I've been kind of a gypsy back and forth. Just probably about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, my first show in Austin was Little Shop at Zilker.
Little Shop.
Which was so fun.
I didn't get to see it.
So fun.
I'm a heat wimp, and so I didn't go. Well, cool. Have you been backstage before here with us?
No.
I didn't think so. Oftentimes I'll say, you've never been backstage. And they go, well, yeah, I've been here three times.
Your show. You came when we did Frog and Toad.
Right, I know. We hung out backstage during ACL.
Yes.
And you could, I don't know if you listened to it back, you could hear the music, which was a mile away. Yeah, that was a fun interview.
And my parents were in there. My parents came and crashed the interview.
That's right, I remember. And we spoke to them. I interviewed them. It's all coming back. Sade, are you a local? Are you an Austin native?
I am not. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
I've heard of that place. Woo-woo. Were you in Brooklyn awesome before place. It was popular?
I was in Brooklyn before it was popular, but when it was awesome.
What neighborhood? Yeah, what neighborhood?
In Bedford-Stuyvesant. So I was in Brooklyn.
That's,
in Brooklyn.
That's tough.
You were like here.
When I lived in New York, you did. If you were a person of my complexion, you did not go into Bed-Stuy. No. As a matter of fact, but I lived. My first apartment was on 3rd Avenue and 14th Street, which is right next to Stuyvesant Town, which is very different than Bed-Stuy. And I just moved here as a fresh-faced kid, and this was in the 70s. And they kept talking about Bed-Stuy and how bad it was. And I kept looking at Stuyvesant Town and going, that looks so bad.
Like, no, not that one.
It's sort of like Cabrini Green in Chicago.
Oh, well, right next to the Gold Coast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when did you move from New York here?
I moved from New York here after undergrad upstate.
I have another question. Yeah. Go ahead. Answer her question because she's more important.
In Geneva, New York, I went to Hobart and William Smith Colleges.
Right on a Finger Lake.
Hobart.
Which Finger Lake was
Seneca
that?
Seneca Lake. Yes.
I toured the Act Wagon out of Auburn Civic Theater in Auburn, New York.
Oh, okay.
That's outside of, I graduated high school in Syracuse, but we're all from the city. My mom's, that was a year.
That's where all the cute guys were in Syracuse.
Could get out from under the 7 feet of snow to see anything, sure.
That's where Niagara Mohawk is. That's all I know. Well, that's cool. So you went from New York, basically.
Why? I came here I'm actually a shadow as a psychologist.
Interesting.
Do you have your LSMFP?
No, LLCSW, bub. No, I don't. Okay. I didn't do that. I got to University of Texas at Austin to get my PhD in social psychology.
Lovely. And do you have that?
I have my master's, and I stopped because I was doing some pretty radical things. So.
Okay. Radical is good.
Yeah.
We'll call you doctor anyway.
Okay, that's awesome. I use it for my dancing.
That's good. So would you call yourself more of a dancer or do you name you? Do you not want to label yourself?
I don't label.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
Label.
That was a stupid question.
But I am a professional dancer who happens to also be an actress. And
do you specialize in any particular style or?
Yeah, I'm classically trained in Chiquetti Ballet. Uh-huh. I learned modern dance, specifically Horton and Graham technique from the Ailey School. And
we were just talking about him a second ago.
Yes,
no, we weren't. We were talking.
They used to actually come to Bedford-Stuyvesant. They had a program called Creative Outlet, and they would come to Bedford-Stuyvesant in the schools, in the public schools, and they would teach us.
So I'm not familiar with that style of ballet you said.
Oh, Cicchetti is just Italian. It's an Italian style of ballet. It's very pure form. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have all of the additives that maybe the Royal Academy of Dance does.
When I lived in New York and I worked for Joffrey, and actually a little bit before that, so you had three major companies in New York. You had Joffrey, City Ballet, and ABT. And you could tell if you saw a dancer out on the street walking, you knew which company they were from. And it's no longer that way anymore.
No.
But each of the companies had a very distinct style.
Yes.
So when I think of New York and ballet, my mind goes to one of those.
Very immersive.
No, that would make sense.
Well, that's awesome.
Alvin Ailey's on one of the PBS fall specials that they're doing right now, that the Hamilton's America documentary was on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And there's a 9 series, and one was Alan Cumming doing his Sing Sappy songs. And one is all on Alvin Ailey.
Wow.
I went to high school performing arts and got to do some master classes with them, and that was.
So we'll close out our time here amongst the dumpsters, asking Vincent Hooper about his exciting life over the past year. You've had some major changes, haven't you?
A few.
What's been going on?
Let's see.
You rolled out of town, and it was like a tornado.
You left
man.
Us. We worked together in December of 2000, a year ago, right now, and then you just. You said, I can't, after working with her, I best leave.
I've been a whirling dervish.
And you did that because you said to yourself, well, you couldn't do any better in Austin.
That's true. That's true.
That was it. That was it.
No, but you you left. And actually, you, which is, I think, I hate it, but also love it when Austin performers move on to perfect their craft and work elsewhere. So where did you go?
I went to Reno for 6 months. I did Footloose for 3 months and Rock of Ages for three. Towards the end of that, had to go to North Carolina, did a little TV thing, came back here for a few days, had to go to LA to do the Hairspray Live stuff, was back here for 2 weeks, and had to go to Chicago for a while to do this show called Hell Drivers of Daytona, which I was a swing for.
We know all about Hell Drivers
of Daytona. Yes, we do. We have talked about it a lot.
Yeah, and then that happened.
So you were a swing?
Yes.
Tough. It's hard.
I mean, yeah.
It's hard. It's a hard. We believe it's one of the hardest thing jobs in
It's definitely good training. You get, like, once you're a swing, I feel like you can do basically anything.
It's sort of like when you're a jet.
Yeah, and then came back here doing Christmas Carol. Now I got a couple things,
but this is Austin is no longer your permanent residence.
Correct. Yes.
And that permanent residence is
Chicago.
Are you a Mets fan?
My kind of town.
I don't.
I mean, a Cubs.
I'm like, first of all, if you live to New York, it better not be the Mets. It's the Yankees. Second of all, Cubs.
Are
you a Cubbies fan?
Don't care about sports.
Yeah, well, neither do I. But you know, but when I lived in Chicago, I would go to Wrigley because it was fun.
Wow.
We have so much to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Wrigley did it.
Yes. That's the only thing I wish I was there for is when they won, because I knew it was going to be insane.
Well, they trashed the city. You should see how much the Cubs have to pay to clean it up.
Right about now, we're listening to some music behind us.
Oh.
Usually it's a musical. What is it? Can anybody hear it?
No.
You can't hear it? Anybody?
Do you want me to hear it?
Yeah, you can hear it.
Me with the bad earache? I hear it.
Hear it quickly.
Oh, it's from The Boyfriend.
It's from The Boyfriend, of course. It's great. Yeah, so it sounds wonderful.
Oh,
we'll just go out listening to that.
Oh,
Sandy Wilson's The Boyfriend.
Thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a happy holiday.
Happy holidays, everybody.